Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Joseph, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. I'm looking forward to another pod. And, you know, I love these Thursday shows. I call them the WrestleMania of my schedule, right? So I'm excited. How about you?
At least we've upgraded it, because I think it was the dynamite of the schedule last week, right?
Well, it was Raw, but yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I at least bullied you into changing it to Dynamite.
Right. Well, I'm excited, but I do want to just quickly, before we're on the air, like, I don't know if you saw, but Twitter got crazy last night because the Fight TV feed, like, dropped out in the middle of the main event.
Yeah.
And it's been busy, but, like, I didn't miss anything crazy, right? Like, Cody just went over and that was that, right?
You didn't see this, Joseph?
Well, I saw someone was talking about, like the flames emojis, and I was just like, oh, you know, they did some ECW shit and they got the hell out of there. That's fine.
No, Joseph, the flames emoji was for the big debut. Bud Matt, Joseph. Bud Matt. The Bud Matt.
The Australian your favorite Dynamo? Wrestler.
Yes. Your favorite wrestler, Bud Matt. He came out. Here's what happened. Let me break it down for you, Joseph.
Okay.
Cody wins. Whatever. Fine match. It was okay. Cody wins. Lights go down. Malachi appears, right? Malachi appears. But Cody gets the better of Malachi, right? Lights go down again. Everyone's waiting. People are thinking Brody King,
yeah, that's
King,
wonderful. Yeah.
King, yeah. Bud Matt, when the lights come back on.
Oh, shit, man. How was the pop?
But, oh, huge. Honestly, think of Adam Cole's pop and double it. Maybe that's, even triple
I said that would happen. I said to you, that pop, double it. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to be honest. I feel like someone would have texted me about this, but they probably didn't want to, ruin it, because this show, we talk about it on this show, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, so just quickly, because my fantasy booking. This we're going to do all tonight's show is going to be us fantasy booking. So he attacked Cody, right?
He attacked Cody.
So does that make him a baby face or a heel?
Well, Joe, you know, we no longer live in a world of black and white. Rather, the canvas has become
and I said, psychosis!
This was for all pals and O'Neill. Such a feed from the jaws of victory with a pipe gun and the chubby cheese distraction.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always, Joseph. Joseph, how are you? Did you actually see the Bud Matt debut?
Oh man, I wish I did, but that was... Bob's just the poise on Bob, you know, the calm. Well, Joe, He's a real pro, man. We made a star on that guy, I have to say. But yeah, that was fun, right? That was a nice little way to ease into a show of heavy wrestling talk, as always. Hard-hitting analysis is what you come to the distraction for, famously.
True.
Jeremy Lambert, sincerely, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I started back to work yesterday. Worked a crisp 17-hour day. Good strong start. Good strong return. Back at it again today, Joseph. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. You know, not much has happened since the last show we did 20 hours ago, or the show we did 40 hours for that. But you know, is what it is, brother. You know, we're doing this daily grind now. We're like one of those shitty radio shows on ESPN. We have to come up with narratives. Hopefully someone clips this with like the eyes emoji. Or like he's spitting or something like that. all of the usual, but I'm fired up. Like, seriously, it's a big weekend. Some are saying, Jeremy, it's the biggest weekend of the year, the biggest party of the winter. Two of the biggest pay-per-views ever taking place, brother. I'm fired up.
We have a super chat from Frank who says, can't get barber chats to work. Cody lighting Andrade's chest on fire during the pin was a tremendous bit. Also, Wang Man, Adam Page. We do have some barber chats, I assume. I don't know. Maybe we don't. I'm not calling them that other thing. By the way, guys, the Distraction YouTube channel.
Yes.
Cash, Joseph.
Got oh, it. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the game changer. You better start clicking those videos now, folks. Christmas is coming up. There's gifts to buy, all of that stuff. It's a different time. Okay. Now we really cash out. Here we go, brother.
Yeah. So we'll be on the post show at 4:30. I think everyone should just leave a bunch of super chats on that post show, honestly. Yep. I'm not reading anything from the chat unless there's some money attached to it. All right. That's what's happening. Yeah.
So I also think it's probably the best time to announce that next Monday you can join us on that channel for our live Monday Night Raw review. NXT 2.0 review on Tuesday night, of course. Dynamite Wednesday. I'm so fired up for SmackDown, the A show. We talk about the Tribal Chief every Friday now on the Distraction channel. So, yes, please support us, guys. We've got mouths to feed.
We do. We do have many mouths to feed. And like you said, holidays coming up and everything. We got things to do, man. You know? We got things to
do. It's kind of scary, but there you go. Yeah. All right. Now, you have some bobber chats, you said? Because
JJ left one. JJ's slacking. Just slacking. Yeah. What can you do?
He's
I blame myself on JJ because, dunked on him pretty hard.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Pretty hard yesterday, yeah. So yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't keep burying his favorite wrestling promotion. Now, here's the thing,
wrestling promotions should be better.
Well, that's a different conversation for another day. Frank left the super chat, and it's probably the place to start, Jeremy. I sense you've created a very controversial thumbnail for today's show. I sense this based on our dislike ratio, as we referenced earlier. So, Codeman, the man who's invented his own medium of entertainment in recent months. He may have had his wildest swing yet last night versus Andrade or Idolo. And there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to Cody. I think you and I are going to overlap a lot on this, though, because I think both of us are willing, in this case at least, to sacrifice any analysis for just the absolute lunacy that the man produced on this show. So where do we start with Cody Rhodes at this point, man? How do we even tackle this shit?
I'm going to say it. I put it in the thumbnail. I believe it. Best worker in the business. Nobody works the people. Like Cody Rhodes. Okay? This is John Cena-esque shit right here by Cody.
Yeah. I mean, that your bit is going to have to be a solo bit. I don't think I can post on any of that. What I will say is, in all seriousness, you know, I have a lot of uncertainty about the whole Cody kind of direction. But the key of it is beyond all, we sit here and talk about this stuff every week. But in terms of at core, here's the key. Is it a good segment week to week? You know, if that's what you can really, you can get lost in all of the grand scope about what he's trying to achieve and what he's trying to portray. Is it a hit on each week to week? And I think you'd have to be really, really, you know, pretty harsh to say this wasn't a hit for this match. Now,
last night was...
It was awesome. Yeah. Now, here's the thing is it was certainly a Cody match and all of that comes with it. It was you know, a touch long. It was a little bit messy. It was borderline insane. Borderline's not needed. It was insane. It was a blood feud that kind of became a blood feud like overnight. Cody bled. There was fire. There was a Brandi Rhodes reveal, which popped me. But it worked. And I can list all of those things that you may consider flaws and tell you it was bad, but I would be lying to you because the match was damn awesome, man. It was fun. And I will say, and I know we're doing the Cody bit, but like seriously, Andrade, man. Like that dude it's outrageous how versatile he is as an in-ring guy. Because that was a Cody Rhodes match.
Yeah.
And like I mean this with all love to Cody, but Andrade stole the show in that thing physically. And that isn't a style that you would like naturally pair Andrade to, right? You know, it was like the old school kind of match plus fire that his dad would have had once upon a time. I just think Andrade is the story underneath here where it's like he's really kind of at home now in AEW. Now it's a matter of getting the booking right and getting him where he needs to go. But it was I didn't love Dynamite last night, but the last like 40 minutes, two home runs because the Ruby match, which we talked about, was great. But the main event, you can't complain. I'm sorry. It was awesome. It is what it is.
You were a little bit worried about the main event, weren't you? Because yes, I mean, we did the pre-show. O'Neal and I both agreed that like Cody was going on last and he was probably going to win. And you were like, I don't know if that's the play right there. And I mean, look, man. That was a home run, that match.
Yeah.
Cody, everything he did, well, he had the crowd the entire time. And like that wasn't to be I didn't think that was gonna be an issue. Whether he was gonna get cheered or he was gonna get booed, he was gonna get some type of reaction in Atlanta. They were making reaction for everything he did. He pulled out that sledgehammer and the golden shovel.
I'm sorry. Our friend Bob O'Neill, who will be on this show later, he loved this and he nearly cried laughing. That to me is always a stretch far.
That rolled. That was tremendous when he did that. Brandy's reveal was fantastic because it's like she's been on television. She was at Grand Slam.
It ruled. Everything.
It's not like she's just. This was her big return after the pregnancy. Like Grand Slam, the big return after the pregnancy.
The chat was saying, like, why was she disguised anyway?
Yeah, that was the best part. She had her mask on and everything. She had the hoodie. It's like she slid in. It's like, well, that's definitely Brandy. And but then she does the big reveal, and the announcer's like, it's Brandy. Like, yeah, well, no shit. It was going to be.
I mean, it's all just, like, you're right. On the pre-show, I was very concerned about Andrade losing and being, like, you know, conquered by the valiant hero, Cody Rhodes. And then, you know, I'm sitting there, which is like, they've got fire involved, man. Like, imagine me coming on here and being like, yeah, they buried Andrade. He lost to fire. I mean, granted, he didn't really take much of the fire, but it's still, here's what he is,
Andrade hit Cody with the sliced bread through the table, and somehow Cody took the win.
It was kind of crazy, though, when he went for the pin, like, the flame from Cody's arm, like, was on Andrade's chest at one point, and they got a little bit panicked there for a second. It was nuts. I mean, it was... I have to say, and this is not a criticism, because if you know the wrestlers I like, I don't give a shit about this. There is a kind of, I do get an ironic enjoyment out of like Cody being the guy that people point to as like, he's an old school dude that gets it right there. And it's like, he's taking like fire in a match that like, you know, I don't think anyone expected fire.
What?
I don't care. It just pops me. Cody's operating on his own wavelength right now, brother. He's way off, you know. He's doing his thing, and again, segment to segment, this one was awesome. So we get to.
You're right about Andrade and how he was overlooked in this match, and he did great, and people aren't gonna remember much of it because Cody had all the pops, right? Like he had all the big pops, and then even during when Andrade was on offense or anything, all people want to talk about was Cody being sunburned and his skin just shedding. And we found out later that it was, of course, flame retardant that he put on himself. And that's why it was shedding like that. But just...
Yeah, well, I mean, look, Jukes mentions it. The confirmed shoot called that. He actually texted me 10 minutes before the Flames. He was like, he literally said to me, I think he's going to be lit on fire, and that's what you've got on his back. My honest reaction was, why would they do fire in this match? Shows what I know.
Why would they do fire?
I don't know. I just, because here's the thing is, last week, after they went off the air, Andrade left him laying, right? Which escalated the feud. But other than that, they just kind of had done a couple of tag matches. So, yeah, it's hilarious. All of it's outrageous. I can't, you know, if someone said to me they hated it, I would be like, that's fine, because there's definitely flaws to it. I can just tell you that I watched it, and other than when Fight TV stopped me, I had an absolute blast from start to finish, including when, like, it was just, it was so excessive and self-indulgent. But I have now got myself to a point with Codeman where it's like, that's the charm to me, you know? Like, the charm to me is that, of course, Cody bleeds, and of course he does fire.
Yeah.
He's Cody. See, that's where he has, in fact, morphed the art form into his own kind of...
It's a code verse. It's a code verse, Joseph. You got to love it. You have to.
It's interesting, man. I do wonder if in, like, 25 years, there'll just be a whole crop of workers that are doing, like, Cody tribute matches, you know? And, like, just doing 20-minute matches infused that aren't really blood feuds, but you pretend they are so you can bleed, and then... You know, like you have like one of your friends to be disguised. It's like a whole genre. I think it's going to be something. I don't know. If that's the case, I'm on the wrong side of history, probably. You're on the right side. But, man, it was a great match, so I can't hate on it.
It's the modern take on the Triple H classic, which was the modern take on the Ric Flair classic. It's an evolving genre here, Joseph.
Nah, because that's
what it is.
See, it's different because... Codeman doesn't pretend he wants to do any sort of limb work in these matches, you know? He cuts straight.
It's evolving. Again, this is the evolving take on it, though.
I don't know. I think it's obviously there's a lot of, like, you know, the old school territory brawl. There's obviously a lot of that, which is neat. But then there was fire, which is, you know, less that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the thing with the back is just peak Cody. It's like the whole match being spent analysing what's wrong with his back is just like only Cody. It's like, you know, when he wrestled MJF and he came up with the tattoo and the whole match was spent with just people like, what the fuck?
Great.
Like, man. It's just, he's incredible. Like, I don't know what to say, man. Dude's, he's broke wrestling. He's broke me. I don't know what's going on anymore.
T-Pain was there, Joseph? You love T-Pain. Man.
Sorry to hear that.
What's your favorite T-Pain lyric?
Oh, all of them, man. They're great. All of them great. Yeah, I mean, that show, Go Big Show, sign me up, huh? That looks great. So, Andrade, I'm going to close with this because I don't want to lose sight of it. As much as we're running out of bits, Andrade's ready to go now, brother. You know? A little shaky start, slow start, hadn't been active enough. Last couple months, he's rolling. He's almost where he was at when he was the NXT champion. And I say almost because that wrestler was one of the best wrestlers I've ever seen in my life. So I don't know what that means for his kind of, like, I would love to see him get that TNT title. I would love that, you know, because then, I've said this before, follow the, you know, Brody and Miro, both were guys that came in, like, wavered for a second and then were so great that they found their way and they became TNT champ and had famous runs as TNT champs. Andrade following that, I think, would be really cool and fitting because, I mean, he's certainly capable of being a great TNT champ, right? Who's better for TV matches than that dude? So that's something I'd like to investigate if I was, you know, I had the pencil. I do not have it, believe it or not. Whatever they do, though, Andrade needs to be factored in a big way because that performance, I'm telling you, I watched it back because of the fight stuff. I wanted to watch the show back with a clear mind and, like, that was a special performance, Jeremy. I mean, it's easy to get lost in it when you're analysing Cody's back, but on the rewatch, I was like, holy shit, dude's incredible. He's just so good. But there you go.
The next TNT champion is Cody Rhodes, Joseph.
You've been saying this for so long, and you can't stop saying it because then if he does actually win it, you'd have wasted so much time. You know?
No, win.
So,
like, not if he does, like when he wins it.
Right. But like what I'm saying is, like, you're now at a point where you just have to keep going with it forever because it would be, you know, it'd be a pointless adventure.
No, I'm going with it because it's going to pay off.
He's not beating Sammy Guevara for the TNT title.
It doesn't have to be Sammy Guevara. He's gonna hold that belt within the next year. Cody will hold that belt by the end of 2022.
Okay, let's have this. Can we do a wager on that only affects Bob O'Neill?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're right about that, Bob is off the show for a week of your choice.
Okay.
And if I'm right, Bob's corner three becomes a corner six.
It's a 6-point shot.
Yeah, I have no intention of putting anything on the line in my own life, so I'll just say Bob.
That's fair. Yeah. Cody's going to, somebody remember this. Cody's going to win that title by the end of 2022. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's going to pay off. TK won't let me down.
I'm not going to comment on that because I'm trying to be nice today. Anyway. Okay, so this, say we can all agree that was the standout of Dynamite, right? Main event?
Yes.
What's second? Are we going Ruby and Chris?
T-Pain.
Okay, what's third? Are we going Ruby and Chris?
What do you think? Drew says, okay, incredible match, shocking moment. Jose is jacked. TK needs to put this man in the ring every week. Bless that. Bless Jose for, like, Arn fell, and that looked very bad. And, like, Jose helps him up and then starts kicking the shit out of him.
That was good. Yeah.
That he's okay.
I was glad to see that because I was very worried for Arn because I couldn't, it looked like a bad fall. Poor Arn, man. Poor Arn. I don't know if he needs to be doing brawls at this point in his life, man. I'm going to be honest here.
No, he doesn't need to be doing it.
Especially on a ramp because when they fought back and they were brawling, poor Arn, like he was going to lose his way, you know? He's a, look after the enforcer for us, folks. It's not even falling down. I don't need that. But good on Jose for helping him up. He is jacked also. Drew's correct.
Chris and Ruby was the second or third if T-Pain was second.
Yeah.
Why didn't you ask me my favorite T-Pain lyric, Joseph? I had a lyric ready to go.
I don't care. Now, here's the deal. Ruby Soho is great. And this is her absolute peak. This is her best. You pair her with a powerhouse and a destroyer in terms of offense, you're going to get great results every time. And Chris Statlander is an absolute powerhouse, man. Her offense is awesome. She's got so much better this year. She's really become, I mean, she was always like exciting and there was a lot to like. She's really great. That match was awesome. TBS title tournament has been pretty damn good, I think, it's fair to say.
Yes.
Most matches have got time, most, not all, but most. And, you know, I think you look at that final four and I think you can say there's a lot to like there. Ruby matched up with Nyla Rose, which is another stylistic fit, like the one I just mentioned. Jade and Thunder Rosa is very scary for many reasons that I'll not get into here.
That'll be good. And
I think it will be good. I'm just saying the result concerns me somewhat. And I just, to me, listen, you're going first episode on TBS, it should be Ruby and Thunder Rosa. I agree. Two can produce a 15 to 20 minute epic. The kind of match that makes that belt look golden on day one. I think there's a lot to say for Jade as a project. I don't think anyone can say she's going to give you a 15 to 20 minute, you know, classic. And there's nothing wrong with it. She's been wrestling for a year, less than. So, That's another conversation another day. Ruby, that's her best performance in AEW so far.
Yes.
And the big takeaway, again, in fear of repeating myself here in terms of pointing to the loser, Statlander needs to be a regular fixture. You know, and she was the title challenger at All Out. She's obviously been in this tournament. I'm really hoping we get some angles here and some programs for Chris as we head into 2022 that keep her on TV regularly, because I don't think she's getting any of these belts in the next like six months to maybe a year. But she needs to be on, man. She's great. She's a real player in that division. And honestly, Jeremy, she's not listed enough when we talk about the top tier in AEW's women's division. Her performance suggests she's just about as good as anyone. So like Chris, I thought that was a real statement on her behalf. And Ruby's, you know, where's left so about Ruby? She's great.
I think Chris is listed because, one, she was out for a while, and she came back. She did the thing with Britt, but like that was a heatless program where everyone knew the end result of that thing. And so that didn't help her. But yeah, she, as far as like performance goes, she's fantastic. I'd like to see her on TV more and doing more than just, a lot of times she does get lost in the shuffle as just, she's with Orange Cassidy, she's with the best friends, and she's just part of that group. And so that's what she's almost kind of pigeonholed into. And that's not fair to her. This is where, again, AEW needs to do a better job when it comes to establishing women's storylines outside of the one storyline they're deciding to put focus on.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And the kind of post-tournament booking is going to be such a huge deal for that division, because the tournament, like, they're doing a good job with it, but it's pretty simple in a sense that you literally just have to slot the matches in accordingly and give them enough time to be good. I think the real challenge is following this tournament up with some hot angles and some feuds. And that was a problem they had last time, because the last tournament for the, the title eliminator thing they did in February or March, I mean, that the matches in that were really good. So it wasn't that. It was more the fact there wasn't really a big-time follow-up where you could sink your teeth into an angle. So that's definitely something they need to figure out, I would say. Now, Dynamite, Jeremy Lambert.
You hated this show. You called it the worst Dynamite ever.
Sure. So there was a show earlier this year that we covered where it was the show where Chris Daniels had his last match in AEW up to this point anyway, and they smash cuts the back, and it was like, it was a weird show. I think it's the show where Pac and Orange, where Orange got hurt and it was a draw. And it was like, I vividly remember us talking about this weird dynamic where it was a show that had multiple matches we considered to be very good, but it didn't quite feel right. Like, it was a good show, but it didn't quite feel right. That's what I would say about this Dynamite. Now, when I rewatched it today, I preferred it because obviously I just, maybe I was not in the right place, whatever. But there were just like a couple of angles that were so strange in execution that it made it a weird show where piece for piece I liked it. I just didn't love the overall package. Where was you at on this show, Jeremy, as like just a 2-hour block of wrestling TV?
I thought it was good.
I'm just being a hater.
Yeah, as I said, you thought it was the worst Dynamite ever. I didn't feel like the vibe was off on anything. Really, I think the one thing that may have been a little strange was because Jim Ross wasn't there, they kept doing the rotating commentators type deal. But like that, like when Adam Cole just goes, does his full entrance, walks back up the ramp, and then Orange Cassidy comes out and everything, like that stuff just kind of popped me. But I didn't think there was a pacing issue or anything like that. It felt like just
a normal. You sound like a bootlicker.
Yeah, maybe it felt like. It felt like a normal episode of Dynamite to me, honestly.
Okay, here's the problem, right? If Adam Cole had actually commentated on a match, I agree, him doing his own entrance is awesome. That was really contrived, though, because there was no match for him to commentate.
Yeah.
And it made Orange seem kind of... I mean, Orange is... He's the kind of character where you can do it because it's like he doesn't really think things through. He's, just does what he wants to do. But... that was kind of dumb, right? Like, to have him go out there and just get the shit kicked out of him and not, just go out there on his own. I don't know. I didn't love that angle. All of the Danielson stuff continues to be a home run. That's perfect. He gave Angels, like, the exact amount he needed to that made Angels look good and didn't kill him, but didn't lose any of his, aura, Oh, no.
Bryan Danielson flexing after his victory.
He's incredible, man. He'll never top the teeth. When he was walking around with Cabana's teeth, yeah, he was like, that was all-timer.
That was so, so good. But him flexing was just total, like, Steph Curry vibes of, like, yeah. I just did that, just, like, embarrassed you here. Like, you couldn't do shit about it. And, like, even though I'm one of the smaller dudes, I'm just going to fucking flex on you.
Well, that's the thing is, like, he's – see, to me, look, here's the deal. I think the idea here is, and this could be lore, so my bad, but to me the idea is like he's so over the top right now because he's just trying to mess with Hangman, right? Like he's testing him. So like he is definitely a heel as of this moment. Like he's a fool. Like he's like dunking on the crowd and stuff. It's tremendous. He's one handshake away from undoing that when they need him to. So it's fine. But like he wants to be a guy that just kind of knows he's like the best wrestler in the world and talks shit, right? That's what he wants to do. He doesn't. And here's the thing with this, okay? I'm not a big Shades of Grey guy, which again, he isn't doing that right now. you have got to realize too, though, like when you're a guy of his caliber and you've been arguably the best wrestler in the world for 15 of the last 20 years, and you're like a top guy that main event in WrestleMania, and you're like, he can really do what he wants. And brother, let me tell you, he's doing what he wants, and it's every bit as good as you and I expected. He's incredible, and I cannot wait. This next 2 weeks, if you're a big wrestler of the year guy, I think he's going to go for it. This next 2 weeks, I think he's going to try and lock it up. So
he 100% is.
Yeah. I mean, him and Hangman are going to kick the shit out of each other, man.
The John Silver match next week in Long Island, like, I think that crowd's going to be really good too. Like, in John Silver, we're big both proponents of John Silver, and so this is a big spot for him. Danielson, I have no worries about, but like, oh man, I'm so excited for the John Silver match. The Hangman match is going to be like that. That's going to be fantastic. Like, you just know what to expect from that one. I'm with you that I said it last night. Like, Danielson's going to make his case. He's already like made a strong push since joining AEW, and you can't forget about his WWE stuff. Like, we both kind of think Kenny has it right now. I don't know if Danielson can do it, but I also ain't doubting the GOAT. Like, that's the GOAT for a reason.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a very real case. I can't even pretend otherwise. I mean, like, I don't watch this stuff close enough to see if he is or isn't wrestler of the year. He's obviously in the very, very top contenders for such a title, though. Now, here's a big topic. Our friend, well, not our friend, but, you know, if he listens to this, you know, I consider his friends. Please don't quote tweet dunk me. MJF, the famed villain of AEW, who causes a debate on my timeline every single week, which I really appreciate. He's a fascinating one, man. He's like, last week, you know, he had his moments where it was like, but most of it was great. No one can deny that, I think. I kind of thought he sucked this week. And like, the fair response to that could just be, he's a heel. That's the idea. And I have no response to that. You could be correct. I don't know. Well, I thought it was like, I'll be totally honest, this is just me. I thought he kind of hurt the Moriarty match. And I thought the post-match segment was not very good. And that's just me. So I don't know.
I thought the Britt Baker shit was just dumb as hell.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of any of that? I didn't get it. I didn't think it added anything to his feud with Punk.
He circled back on it too. Like, he did like two lines.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was completely just like unnecessary stuff. I didn't think it added anything. The line about Larry, his dog, sure, Gartner's dog. Like, yeah, like, you know,
like, he's kind of lame though, right?
But that's like cheap MJF stuff that he does every single time. Like, that I'm a little bit more okay with. Like, the Britt Baker, like, we know CM Punk is married to AJ. Like, is he? We know Britt Baker's with Adam Cole. Is he alleging an affair here? Like,
see, this is my thing, and this is like a bigger conversation than just MJF. Is definitely truth to the idea that if he said like real zingers that were cool, he would get cheered. So like, that's like, I get that, but I definitely think there's a middle ground between like not being cool heel and being whatever he was last night. Because I'll be honest, and I can only speak for myself, and that's, you know, that's all I can do, right? Genuinely, what that whole thing last night made me less interested in their program. Now, for some of you watching this, that may be crazy to you. You may be more interested in it, and that's fine. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just thought it was like just so kind of prelim, man, you know, and like try hard and like, I don't know. To me, and the worst thing is too, is Punk's like just sunk to his level and did like the line about, you know, what was his line about needle dick? And he did it last week and they were chanting it. And I was just like, I thought it just sucked. Again, if you tell me it was good heat, that's fine. I'm not an expert by any means. I'm just telling you that I actually thought it was so kind of cheap that to me, I just sort of rolled my eyes and just stopped caring. And that's not the ideal follow-up to a 20-minute segment that was, like, critically acclaimed. That's, you know, but we'll let it play out. MJF is a guy that I think is still a distance away from his prime. I think it's easy to forget that Punk, when he was at this point in his career, was also try hard and would say stuff for shock value. And, you know, like I'm not here to see like, oh, he sucks, get him out of here. But I just kind of cringed it and was like, oh, that was lame.
We've had the discussion about MJF before of, you know, does his low-hanging fruit, does it make for good television and actual good promos and whatnot? And I thought this was an instance where it did not. Like some of the Jericho stuff, it worked.
Some of it, yes.
Yeah, but and the stuff with Punk last week was very good. This just MJF portion of it didn't hit for me.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was a myth. And again, the commentary thing was. I get what they're going for. Punk struggling to beat guys, but what he's part of it to me took away from what one of the real key points of the match should have been, which was. Lee Moriarty's up next. He's going to be a champion a few years here. And Punk was trying to convey that. But when you have the commentary team bickering about whether or not it's Punk being old or it's Moriarty being good, I think you lose. To me, that's all. No, it becomes messy to me, the narrative you're trying to get across.
It was very WWE-ish with the screaming, talking over each other nonsense.
Yeah. And that's a shame because I was really excited for the match. I thought the match was good. Like,
yeah.
Especially the end, they got into kind of a rhythm. You could see Punk was adjusting because Lee has a really unique style. That's what's so exciting about him is he has this whole kind of unconventional, just everything he does looks different, right? But you could see Punk was adjusting to that early. They ended up having a really good match. But that was a gripe of mine. The other one that stands out was the way they formatted that Leo Rush segment was like, I didn't get what they were going for with that. I didn't really, because people in my mention said it last night. The audience didn't know what Taz was talking about with the percentage stuff, right?
Yeah.
So like when Leo was talking, they just didn't seem to understand what was going on. It was very awkward, that deal. A couple of times, Taz is awesome. One of the best characters on all of TV or wrestling TV. But like, there's been a couple of times where they'll have him do angles where he like stands up from the commentary desk and it's like really awkward and uncomfortable. And I don't mind that, but it didn't do Leo any favors, I thought. So yeah, that was the other thing. But like, again, all of the matches, I haven't really got anything negative, Sam. We haven't even talked about Sting. Sting wrestled last night, Jeremy.
Should have lost.
No, you don't believe that. They've actually convinced me he's going to lose, man. When he got hit by the famous, I was like, oh no. There you go. Bless Sting.
Yeah, cool face paint. That face paint was very cool. They had the matching face paint with him.
They did, yep. Yeah. That'll sell some action figures, brother.
Well, they can't do the... I mean, this isn't a spoiler, but you know, we fantasy booked FTR for about 2 hours last night, and a match with Sting and Darby was one of the fantasy booking, and then come to find out, Phoenix has travel issues. And so the match on Friday is now Pac and Penta against FTR, and it's non-title. And so there goes our big idea of FTR winning the titles on Friday.
I will say, I mean, look, it's become a whole bit with old Bill Gunn, the one Billy Gunn. But he is, like, he's extraordinary. Huh? Like, he's,
yeah.
I want to say he's 58.
Really?
Yeah, because when he did the tag league, he was... getting up there. I think he was 58, right?
Dude, that is
so obviously, firstly, he looks like incredible. Like that goes without saying.
Like I knew he was old just because he's been around forever and everything. But like if you just show some random person who is like, hey, how old do you think this person is? He's probably in like his 40s or something.
And like if you watch if you go and watch Sting's hot tag and you watch Billy's feed on Sting's hot tag. I mean, it's outrageous. Frankly, for a man of his size at any age, it's impressive. But at 58, it's ridiculous. He's a freak athlete. And I like the match. You know, it isn't the most blocked.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from JELD-WEN. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on JELD-WEN windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Plus the usage of Sting and Darby, but like, I don't think they're trying to convince you it was. Ray was in the middle of the show. You know, it is what it is, but it's always cool to see Sting. He just has fun, doesn't he? Sting looks very happy. He looks like he's enjoying himself.
It's so great that Sting has landed here and isn't washed by WWE of like, hey, he's just part of WCW as the franchise guy who couldn't carry them to victory. It's fantastic.
You see how Pal Tape Machines, like, he crowned WCW victors last night? Because obviously last night was the blow off to the program that they start. You know, WrestleMania 31 when Billy Gunn
was
Triple H?
Yeah.
Justice is always served in the end, folks. And on that note, we move on to NXT War Games. No, I'm messing up. It is interesting, though. I mean, who would have thought it, huh? Billy Gunn and Sting in the same match on TNT in 2021. Wild.
Anything else from Dynamite?
I feel like I'm missing something. Ah. Wardlow, next week's the week, right?
Yes.
It has to be. Like, in MJF's hometown, it's the week.
I think it's the week as well.
Give him a couple squashes. So, yeah, it's time.
Is it going to be next week or sort of the week after? Because I think they're both going to be in the Battle Royal next week, right? And then are we doing the bit of MJF like accidentally tosses Wardlow, or are they going to be the final two and then they meet the week after and MJF is like, okay, well, you know, give him my third ring and everything. And Wardlow's like, no, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get the big angle in the middle of the ring in the Battle Royal.
Okay.
I think MJF is going to come down to a babyface, MJF and Wardlow. And MJF's going to start barking at Wardlow. And Wardlow's going to toss him and the place is going to fucking pop. And MJF will have not just a grudge because Wardlow betrayed him. He did it to him in front of his own people that were chanting his name. That was a good part of his promo. What he was talking about. That was good shit. I think that's where we're going, but I could equally see what you said about, you know, them being the last two and all that stuff. Like, I think, you know, the last couple of times we've had, I think in the last month, we've had two Wardlow squash matches on Dynamite where he's done the powerbomb deal and the place loves it. Like, it's time. Now, what his ceiling is a babyface singles, I don't really know because that promotion is so stacked, so it's hard. But I think we're going to find out sooner than later. I think the angle is on its way next week, to be honest with you. But we shall see.
It's potential, yeah. There's ways to go about it. I agree. Yeah.
This is this is a big thing too. He's like, MJF, like, for all I just said, him setting the stage for a hero's welcome and knowing full well that just makes it more likely he's going to get booed is so good. It's great, great shit. I mean, I have a lot of time for all of that. So I think that will be the perfect timing. Now, Jeremy, now that we've talked about the less important program, can we go on to, you know, hard times and all that stuff?
Are we actually talking about like war games? Let me read some super chats.
Okay.
Max says, I've gotten to the point where I actively sing along with the intro of the best podcast in the universe. I don't know how to feel. You should feel great. Kylo has made a very catchy theme, so you should write about that.
It is an awesome theme, man. It really is great.
It's really
good. Way better than the show that it introduces. But there you go.
Chop says, lots of stories in the tournament. Britain, Thunder Rosa's story. Jade and Velvet redid their story. Deeb and Sheeta have a story. It's been great. They have done stories in the tournament. I don't think we've argued that. It's about following up these stories after the tournament.
They need to also do a little bit of maintenance on Sheeta and Deeb. They need to give them like a segment to keep that ticking along. But no, I agree with that completely. I think they've done a good job with that. So again, it's just this next, you know, I think, to be honest, this sounds so dumb because winter is coming. It's huge. Danielson and Hangman is massive. But I think in a lot of ways, this next month is kind of, I don't want to say it's like killing time because that's just dumb. But like, it's definitely a new era starts in 2022, right? With the change of networks and just, it feels like that's a moment and we're kind of edging our way closer to it. Obviously, again, Hangman and Danielson's massive. So I am really intrigued as to what the women's division looks like next year when they have the TBS title. You know, you'd assume that'll be defended regularly on Dynamite is what you would guess. So it'll be interesting. I think, we're also probably going to get a Rosa and Britt title program, which is big time. So there's a lot coming up here that's going to give some answers, I feel. So there you go.
Van Twin Blade says Effie got interviewed by Business Insider. Effie, NXT 2.0. Not a super chat, but I'm going to read this. Wrestling Reads says Dynamite comes here to Cleveland at the end of January. Hopefully something interesting will happen well then. I will be there, Wrestling Reads. If you want to come get your head kicked in, let me know.
Did you just put yourself over? Did you just humble brag about being an AEW Dynamite in Cleveland?
Yeah, they announced it. I'm very excited to go to this. I'm going to hang out with Luther. You know, we're going to call it smash cold beers like we always do and be a good time.
God bless. Okay, well, here we go, folks. It's what you've all been waiting for. I believe this was listed in the title as NXT Dusty Promo 2. No, NXT.
NXT No Takeover and NWA Dusty Promo 2.
That's fine. All the same thing. Let's actually talk quickly. Now, look, we have about 10 minutes.
I thought this was a joke. I was like, Joseph, what are we talking about today? And you're like, war games with three exclamation points. And I was like, I'm pretty sure he's joking, but ha ha ha, I'm going to put it in the title anyway. I didn't even know the show was this week. What are we doing?
The chat wants us to talk about war games.
No, they don't. Nobody's talking about that. People are talking about me kicking people's heads in. See? Kick. Kick.
No, I haven't. Yeah, but I'm getting texts from our viewers, though. So anyway, this is obviously one of the more anticipated events of the year. No, like, in all seriousness, can I do a little bit here? I want to just say something quickly.
Fine.
This is actually one of the biggest stories of wrestling's 2021. And so much has happened that dipshits like us have really, in my view, done a pretty poor job of capturing it. Brother, this is big time. This is an event that, like, genuinely, we've seen that era end, and now this is a moment in time. Some of these gentlemen that are on this show may not work for the company in a week's time. So there's a lot here. The brand has been completely repurposed. You have a War Games match that is literally a love letter to the angle that you and I pop, you know, with New Blood Rising, where the young guys are like dicks. Eli Drake is cutting, like, great wrestling promos on YouTube as a pop. You know, there's a lot here. Roddy Strong is going to lose the Never Open Weight title. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Like, seriously, not doing a bit. I haven't watched any of NXT 2.0. I think I'm going to watch this show. I'm intrigued by this show. I'm really intrigued by how good it can be because we've seen that TakeOver has become, this is not a TakeOver. TakeOver was a match, you know, critically acclaimed belt-to-belt program because basically it was loads of guys that were really good in PWG, you know, plus one great women's match every time. This is a very different lineup. I think some of it's pretty safe bets, but like some of these matches may not be all that good. I don't know. So I'm intrigued by it, is what I'm saying, Jeremy. Are you intrigued by it?
The intrigue is in just the changeover. There's no intrigue in what they've actually done on television for me.
Yeah, but I don't intrigue... watch it, so, you know.
Neither have I. The intrigue is the intrigue is just like it's new versus old, and that's where sort of that's where it comes from, right? Because you look at the guys on one side of the card, and it's everything NXT used to be, and you know the black and yellow brand, black and gold, whatever, and the dim lights and the metal music and all that stuff and the indie wrestling. Then on the other side of the card, it's athletes and characters and bright lights and splatter color and all this stuff. Like that's the intrigue of it, is it's the new versus the old, and how much are they going to like really go full bore with the new? And I think they're going to go really full bore with the new.
So you think they're winning?
I do. Yeah, I think they're winning both of them. I think they're winning both of them.
Well, the women's match hasn't.
Yeah, it's not quite as new versus old, but there's still some elements to it. The men's match is definitely new versus old. And I think the guys are winning that.
The I don't think you understand. The men's match is literally like that's what it's called.
Yeah. 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 Old school versus new school. I know.
Like he's listed here as Team Black and Gold versus Team 2.0, which is hilarious for so many reasons. I will say, genuinely, because I watched this, it was recommended to me. Johnny Gargano and Bron Breakker. That Bron Breakker stuff is legit, by the way. He's like,
yes,
he's pretty special.
Very good, yeah.
Look, man, I think it's an interesting story. I don't think it's an interesting story in the way that, like, as you said, I don't think, from what I can gather, it isn't the most fascinating television story. But in terms of what it's been for the industry, NXT being transformed is wild. You know, I was looking at some of the matches. I have, like, a list of matches from this year that I need to watch that I don't remember happening. And I watched some of Finn's stuff. That was this year. Finn was the NXT champion at the start of this year. Like, it's a completely different thing now. And that seems almost unfathomable. So... I don't know. I will say that, like, Joe Gacy is going to make the belt. Like, they're going to make the all-inclusive thing like a belt, and that's going to be interesting. That's where they're going with that, right? Like, the all-inclusive. Yeah,
yeah, I think so, because, I mean, look, it hasn't been the Cruiserweight title for a while now. Roddy's out here defending it against Odyssey Jones. Like, it ain't – I don't know if he actually defended the title in that match, but he's wrestling Odyssey Jones regardless. But yeah, it hasn't been the Cruiserweight title. I agree. I think Joe Gacy's going to win. Sorry, Joseph. And then it's going to be the all-inclusive title. Is he going to defend it against women? Is that what they're going to do as well? It feels like it's just going to be like a 24/7 title in NXT, truthfully.
I'll say this. Look, I haven't seen any of this gimmick, but Joe Gacy's a good pro wrestler, and you know, I'm glad for him that they've got a shtick they want to use him with, because that's cool. If he still wrestles anything like he did before he was this, I'd imagine him and Roddy Strong is going to be pretty damn good, to be honest with you. So, you know, I can't hate on it. I know you were doing a bit about, you know, I'm sorry, but it's, you know, and we all know where guys like Paul Roddy fit in this new NXT, and it ain't, you know, ain't particularly prominently. He signed a new deal, 6 months ago? So, yeah. Maybe he'll be a player coach. There's obviously a lot he can do in that role. I don't want to speculate any further, but like you get what I'm saying. We kind of see writing's on the wall with guys like him, unfortunately.
Yes, I say sorry because you obviously love him as a wrestler and like watching him wrestle, and I don't know how much more he's going to be wrestling, especially like he's been active. He's been on 205 Live and everything. Like he's actually tried to like do something with that title and bring it to the 205 Live brand. And like I just don't know. I would hope there's still some type of role for him because Diamond Mine is a good act and Bivens is tremendous, but I just don't know what that role is going to be for him moving
forward. It's difficult with his stuff because it's very hard to kind of get a read on what guys want with their careers, right? And, like, let's be honest about this. that dude worked really, really hard to get his foot in that door, right? Like, look, and he's had whatever you think of this current stuff. I don't think I'm reaching to say Roddy Strong had a really nice run in NXT.
Yeah.
A really nice run. I mean, Undisputed Era stuff, I didn't watch a lot of that stuff, and, like, it didn't seem like my thing necessarily. But that'll be remembered for a long, long time. People love that stuff. He had a great run with Rude there, where they had some good matches. Had some matches with Drew. They used him very nicely in NXT. So if he's at a point in his life as he approaches 40, I would imagine, where he's like, you know what, man, I'm cool, just chilling. God bless him. I mean, that dude, if anyone deserves to take their foot off the pedal and be like, you know what, I'm cool just watching these dudes have bad matches, Roddy's the guy. I mean, how long was he in Ring of Honor, Jeremy? 13 years?
Something like that.
Run, man. Like, yeah. So there you go. Anyway, moving on to the most important show, NWA Dusty Promo 2.
This 32 match card.
Yep. Are you going to list it off every match?
Do you want me to? I will. Okay. Here we go. No. You've said okay. You said it. Hold on. Let me pull this up.
It is legitimately like 13 matches long.
NWA World Heavyweight Championship, Trevor Murdoch defending against Mike Knox. NWA Women's Championship, Camille defending against Melina. NWA National Championship, Chris Adonis defending against Judas with Father James Mitchell. NWA Tag Team Championships, La Rebellion defending against The End. No disqualification match. NWA Television Championship with the Pope as a special guest referee. Tyrus defending against Scion. A gauntlet match for NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship qualifier. Arya Daivari, Darius Lockhart, Alex Taylor, CW Anderson, Jeremiah Plunkett, Kerry Morton, Homicide, PJ Hawk, Sour Naro, Victor Benjamin. NWA Women's Tag Team Championship, The Hex, defending against Kylie Rae and Tootie Lynn and Lady Frost and Natalie Markova. NWA World Junior Heavyweight Qualifier, Austin Aries against Rhett Titus. Impact Knockouts Championship, Mickey James defending against Kiera Hogan. ROH Tag Team Championships, the OGK defending against Aaron Stevens and JR Kratos. Nick Aldis against Tom Lattimore in a grudge match. Colby Carino against Doug Williams in a match. And Jack Stain against Mims in another match. Going to be a tremendous show, Joseph. All right, it's going to be absolutely tremendous. We got a great card. I just ran it down. Who cares? What are we doing?
Well,
Trent Little.
Yep, he told you he was going to do this. What match here do you want to see most, Jeremy?
None of it.
Is Trevor Murdoch and Mike Knox in a cage, or did they just shoot the angle in a cage?
I think they just shot the angle in a cage. I don't think it's actually in a cage.
Fair. I guess Mickey James and Kiera Hogan.
Right? I guess.
That's a pretty cool match.
That's a good match. I actually think Austin Aries and Rhett Titus will be good. I haven't seen Aries work in a while. I assume he's still pretty
good. Should be good. Yeah.
In the ring. Like, everything else is just like, I don't know, man. The women's tag team match, it's a triple threat, which might hinder it a little bit, but I like a lot of the workers in that match.
Yeah, this is an interesting... I mean, there's a lot of people on this show, you know? And
there's a lot of matches. There's 38 matches, Joseph.
I have to be honest. I would love to be, like, optimistic and positive about this program, but it is quite impressive that they have... I mean, that's a lot of matches to have so few that stand out. You know, and with all due respect, that there's not a lot here that jumps off the page. And again, I'm not watching the wonderful builds that I'm sure Power is providing. So
yeah, no, that sucks.
But like, it probably should be better than this, considering the talent pool that is currently out there in the wrestling world. This is probably not what should be being produced. If I'm
just
being real,
the build for Power has been they shot the angle with Mike Knox on a show nobody watched, and then they finally showed the footage
good
on
angle,
Power.
Though. It was a good angle, though.
Okay, nobody saw it. That's been it. Melina did win some contenders match. Judeus did win a contenders match. The End won a tournament. Tyrus and Scion has been a thing. No one's even talked about this world junior heavyweight title coming back until it was just randomly announced. The Hex have been feuding with like nobody. Nikki and Kiera have been feuding on like social media. All this in Lattimore has been fine.
Okay, so here's my question. Where will the National Wrestling Alliance be in 1 year's time?
Bud Matt as the champion, because we'll have the book after buying it.
I am intrigued, like genuinely, because here's the thing is, bless Billy Corgan, but like, you know, he's done the studio thing now. I think it's pretty clear that the growth in this current setup is not, you know, non-existent. Like, it's just not, you know, and part of that, in their defense, it's hard, man. When you're on a subscription deal with, like, you know, they're on Fight, but they're a subscription, and it's like, you have to pay to watch the TV. It's just not viable. It's never going to be viable. There's some good people in here, and there's some people that in a different setting would probably be useful, but this kind of feels like this kind of feels like rock bottom. I'm being real. I mean, I'm
going to watch a lot of this. Tickets to this thing?
I don't know. I'm going to watch this to review it, but like, right.
How many? Can I go on Ticketmaster now and see like how many tickets has been sold to this?
Maybe you should use WrestleTix. They're probably better.
Yeah, I don't have their Patreon though, and like I don't know if they
tweeted it.
I mean, maybe, but they don't tweet like everything. So yeah, I don't know if they've actually like.
I don't know. It's a shame. JJ is speculating about Double J Jeff Jarrett. I don't know. If
he's
that's the case.
He's involved with baseball right now. Like he's not a.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I mean, clearly we're very excited about this event. It's going to be a tremendous show, and you know, I expect to see pay-per-view buy rate numbers shattered, all that good stuff. So, there you go, folks. Biggest pay-per-view weekend of the year.
Let me look for. I'm going to try to buy tickets live on air to NWA Hard Times 2.
Where is this show anyway?
It's in Georgia. I think it's at the studio that they always.
Oh, it is.
Run.
Yes, the studio.
Yeah. Oh, it says it's sold out. So.
Fucking owned. You've just been owned live on the air.
It says it's allegedly sold out.
Wow.
Apparently there's like 25 people who are allowed to get into this thing, so I hope it sells out.
Man, that was something, man. You just got crushed live on the air by Billy Corgan. Anyway, yeah, Billy Corgan, as I was saying, I'm fired up for this show. I'm fired up for it. I think this is going to be, you know, that's just an absolute home run. I'm excited to review it on Monday on the Distraction channel. Is it Fightful Distraction?
/Fightful Distraction. Yeah.
YouTube.com/Fightful Distraction. You can see my review of that on Monday. I'm going to go in great detail on all 25 matches. And it's sold out. Look at JJ in the chat's dunking on it. When was the last time TNA sold out, Bubba? Huh? Ain't happening. So. There you go. It's almost time, folks. Let's get to Bob and let's get the hell out of here.
Oh, man.
Oh, it is what it is. We tried.
History pilot.
Hello, Robert O'Neill.
What's up, guys?
My God, why are you so loud?
I don't know. Is that better?
Yeah, a little bit.
Am I too close to the mic?
At least you didn't, like, kick the shit out of the mic like you usually
it's
do.
It's true. I'm getting better.
JJ says the TNA sold out Bound for Glory. Take that, Joseph.
Well,
I've just been owned.
Yeah, chat's fired up today, guys. I got to be careful.
They are.
I don't want to catch a stray.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that. O'Neill, do you have a topic?
I mean, I was going to talk about War Games. You guys talked about it a little bit. I could talk about it a little more. I want to talk about Cody and Andrade as well. So we'll just see where this goes, I guess.
All right, well, here we go, O'Neill.
History pilot, bang!
Okay, yeah, so I do want to start with the Cody and Andrade match because, you know, I wasn't, like, the biggest fan of it main eventing, even though I knew it was gonna, like, it is what it is, but You know, Arn falling off the stage was funny. I'm glad he's okay. I don't want to laugh at him if he's in actual distress, but he seems like he's fine. But, you know, like halfway through the match, I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching here, but I'm just going to enjoy it. And that's what I did. And then, you know, Cody goes under the ring and gets the sledgehammer and the golden shovel. And I legitimately could not stop laughing for like 2 straight minutes. It was the funniest thing that I have seen in wrestling in quite some time. And, you know, maybe I should have expected it a little more, but yeah, it just came out of nowhere, really popped me good. And, you know, then suddenly the other guy has a taser just out of nowhere. And then they go back in the ring and, you know, the table's on fire. Was not expecting fire. And then, you know, Cody pins the guy while he's on fire. Just perfect stuff, man. Great match. One of my favorite AEW matches, and I don't think I'm doing a bit. Just really, really enjoyed it. Checked all the boxes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm bummed about the FTR match being off, but it is what it is. Well, actually, FTR's still in it. It's just not the match it was supposed to be.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
You get what you get, I suppose.
That is correct, yes. Yeah, and then as far as War Games, I mean, I know you guys talked about it a little bit. I'm looking forward to the 2 War Games matches themselves. I think they're usually pretty good. I know some of the people in these ones are kind of green, but I think they can really make something work here. I liked Bron Breakker against Johnny Gargano quite a bit. I think, you know, maybe having Bron Breakker be in the first title match and then lose wasn't the right idea, but they have built him back up. Yeah, I mean, I don't, it kind of like, you know, we talked about how the takeovers used to be just like this spectacle of just great matches. And it's kind of more of a in your house sort of thing now where you're going to have 1 or 2 good matches and, you know, just stuff to fill out the rest of the card. Not going to watch Hard Times. I'll leave that to Joe. I was going to watch AAA. Might still do that. I watched AAA, the Kenny and Andrade match. I ended up watching like the whole show, and it's actually, it's different than any other wrestling that I've watched. It's very entertaining. We got 30 seconds left.
O'Neill, do you know about the bet that we have?
Yeah, I want to talk about that too. I'm not doing 6 minutes. I don't care what happens. I'm using my.
Who gives a fuck?
Bulls play the Knicks tonight. Go watch that. Go Bulls. If you like the Knicks, I'm not your friend. I need to make that very clear. Also, if you talk shit to Jeremy, I will fisherman suplex you on the hood of a car. It's the new rule.
Thank you. History final. Bang! That has been Robert O'Neill's Corner 3.
What is this new... There's something incredibly striking about this new... fisherman suplex you on the hood of a car.
I don't know. I'm for it. He's defending me. So, like, I like it.
Yeah. Damn bootlicker. It's just interesting, you know? He says it with such confidence. It's really striking stuff. Jeremy, you're a big ratings guy. See this AEW number?
Yeah, let me read these super chats first. Ryan Sullivan says Lady Frost is out with some sickness. Should I do it? Joseph, where's O'Neill? O'Neill, come back if you're listening. Somebody, there he is. Okay.
Oh no,
O'Neill, you get where this is going, right?
Sorry to hear that.
No. Sorry. I mean, yes, but like Lady Frost is out with some sickness.
What do you want me to do here, man?
So, she's under the weather. She has a cold. Come on, there's stuff there, O'Neill.
That one doesn't really work. You're forcing
bro,
it.
That was it disgraceful.
Lady Frost.
Man, you're forcing that's brutal.
It. Well, like, get off him before he ruins your reputation.
Yeah, more that's like terrible. Lady Cold.
More like Lady Cold.
There you go. See?
Sure. Yeah, we saved it. That was good. That's what people are here for.
Good job, O'Neill.
Okay. Is that the super chats, Jeremy?
Antoine Blade says Kylie Rae and 2D.
That match should be good.
And well, now I don't know if it's happening with Lady Frost is out. And Jeff says, thank you for War Games input, Joe Gargano.
Just doing my job, man. You know? We only have about 20 minutes here to bid farewell to AEW. I don't know if you've seen the ratings, Jeremy, but
go Lady Fever.
We have to, you know, We have about 20 minutes, Jeremy. Do you have anything to say?
Oh, yeah. Fleet down bad?
Well, I have a more graphic term, but yes, that works.
I don't even know what the numbers are. What are they?
450,000.
Wait, what? Like, hold on. That actually is alarming.
It was like 870 or something. Okay, here's an actual question, right? Now, you and I know nothing about ratings. Sometimes it's up on shows that I expect to do badly and vice versa. But here is a genuine question. Where do you think the AEW hype is at right now relative to the last 6 months, year? What do you think, Jeremy?
I mean, it feels like it's down from, you know, when right. Punk and everybody came in.
But is it a natural dip due to the timing that will soon come back up? Or is it a case of, like, they haven't quite nailed it with certain excuses? Because I actually don't know my answer to this. I'm genuinely intrigued.
It's been down ever since they went live on the West Coast. Like, that's hurt the number.
For sure, yeah. That's why the rating, even beyond the rating, like, as just a wrestling fan.
Okay.
Do you think is your excitement, your hype down? I guess is what I'm asking.
No,
I don't know really. Where I'm at. No.
No, it's not down for me because, look, I'm excited for Danielson and Hangman. That's a fucking great match.
Yeah, it's just interesting, right? Because, like, you know, that September, August, that was unlike anything we've probably ever seen before because, I mean, good Lord, we had Punk, Brian, and Adam Cole in a two-week span. So seeing them, you know, seeing them kind of try to capitalize on that has been fascinating just as a case study. I kind of get the sense that this next month is almost, I don't want to say it's like it's so dumb me saying they're punting because it's like that show last night was stacked and they're doing Danielson Hangman. I just think the directions will really click in the new year is what I think.
That's
so
fair.
We shall see. But I mean, look, I think we can all agree, like, I'm not a rating expert. I'd assume they would like to be a little bit higher is what I would guess. Yeah. But, you know.
I mean, everyone, they pay attention to the demo. Right, like the demo is 0.31. Is that down bad compared to? I know last week was going to be down regardless.
I think it's equal to last week.
Well, that's not great. You would hope for a bounce back after last week because last week it might be over. Yeah, honestly,
it's all over, folks. Right. Well, on that note, we appreciate you joining us on the distraction for the last nearly 2 years. It's been one hell of a ride. Bid farewell to All Elite Wrestling. I bid farewell to Fightful.com. And I'll see you on the post show in about 20 minutes.
All right, guys. Post show, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. We officially got monetized today, so you can leave super chats. Please leave super chats. We got Christmas gifts to pay for. I got kids. Joseph has a Coke habit, so we got a lot to pay for here. So we need all of your money. All right, everyone? This isn't like a major, major announcement. I got plans for this channel, Joseph, as people know. And I'm working on things. Joseph, you know a little bit about it.
Pure plans.
I'm working on some other stuff, though. I'm hoping to really hammer a lot of content on the new channel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different stuff. And I know Joseph is in the same boat of some of the ideas that we would like to do. So yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited that we got it monetized. I'm shooting some shots. Some of them are going in. Some of them might have to grab a rebound, get another shot up, but I'm excited about some stuff that we're doing. Oh, let me see if we do have Hopper chats, Bobber chats, whatever we call them. Yeah. I just don't think we get them on these shows because I'm just so used to, being the super chats, but we do. Jay Shell says, sending you my barber chat. Hope you guys are having a good day. Just bought my tickets to Terminus. Very nice. Can't wait to talk to you guys tomorrow. Also, can report that Cass is still alive. He's going to be dead soon. Sorry. He just is. What?
Wow. Just cold blooded, man. Okay. All right.
The way that man lives his life.
Yeah, sounded more like you were threatening to kill him, to be honest. But yeah, tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun.
It is.
we got some fantasy booking to do, Jeremy.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Everyone, we put her over yesterday. We put her over again. Jay Shell Nicole from Body Slam, and Carissa from Body Slam as well. We're gonna be on their show 5 o'clock doing some fantasy booking.
Yes,
It's not like a competition, is it? Is it?
Do we have to like a competition, bro? When I come into the game, it's a competition. You know.
Yeah, true. We're competing with everybody. That's very true.
I'm gonna actually share. I think I can do this now.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna post the link in the chat to the video so people know, like, you know, they can like remote, you know, click okay. Remind me or whatever the hell.
Yeah,
ready? I'm gonna see if like this actually works. This is very exciting for me. There he is.
Hey, there you go.
I can do it. I can now okay. Play clips too, as you saw earlier, guys. Very exciting. I'm playing it now.
Go there and you know, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, check it out. We're gonna have some fun. Kylo says, "Hey guys, really need an distraction tonight. Cody being set on fire is surely opening the door to Firefly Wyndham and making his grand." Oh, Joseph, I didn't think about that.
Wait, what?
Bray, this is how Bray comes in.
What happened? I'm confused.
Cody in the fire.
Okay. I mean, there's actually a good chance he's there, so I'm not gonna comment on Bray. Because I don't want to have to like do the thing where I pretend I'm happy about it. I'm just going to say, yay, Bray, and move on.
Fair. JF Gators says, couldn't agree more on Statlander. I feel like her strength has saved so many botches. Would you say she's the best in-ring of the women's division? If not, who?
I would say she's behind... Great question. I would say Thunder Rosa.
Yeah.
Serena.
Yep.
Sheeta. Then I probably got Statlander. I'm probably forgetting someone. That's where I think I'm at.
I definitely agree on Rosa and Deeb. Probably Sheeta. Ruby's right there too.
Yep. Riho is very good.
Riho is excellent. Trying to think if there's anybody we are missing.
We probably are.
Probably. But she's definitely...
I think there's probably a lot of areas in which Sheeta is better kind of mechanically than Statlander. I actually would probably, if you give me like the option of watching one of their matches, I'd probably watch Statlander before Sheeta. She's very dynamic to watch in ring. So yeah, no, she's pretty awesome. Definitely.
The fact that she's doing this after this ACL injury too is always impressive. Anytime people come back from these type of injuries, like, it's impressive to the stuff they can still pull off.
Yep. I mean, it amazes me that Bob can still do this podcast at the level he does, you know? His knees are shot. Samoa Joe in 2019, man. He's still busting out at dive. You got to respect it.
All right, everyone. We'll be over on youtube.com/FightfulDistraction in about 15 minutes, and we will catch y'all over there. You know what we're going to talk about, Joseph? You know what I put in the headline for that show?
NWA?
No, we've done that.
NXT.
No, we did that.
The NXT never open weight cruiserweight title.
No, we did that.
Roderick Strong's greatest hits.
No, Joseph, we're gonna have an actual discourse, an actual like discussion fuck. about okay. This. Because I put it in the headline, which means we have to talk about it.
The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
The Young Bucks being named PWI Tag Team of the Year.
Okay.
We're going to have a discussion, folks. Join us. We'll be over there, youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Bye, everybody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.